Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. At the 2025 National Immune Cell Effector Therapy Conference, Cancer Network spoke with clinical pharmacist Tiba Alsagir from Miami Cancer Institute of Baptist Health, South Florida, as well as Rebecca Gonzalez and Saba Karim, both from Moffitt Cancer Center. The conversation focused on their presentations highlighting key strategies for mitigating adverse effects following cellular therapy in different lymphoma, leukemia, and multiple myeloma populations. First, what was the background for each of these presentations on managing adverse effects associated with different cellular therapies across different patient populations?
So I primarily focused on the multiple myeloma patients, and we looked at the differences between the BCMA CAR-T products as well as our BCMA bispecifics and GPRC5D bispecifics. I looked at basically the differences between those toxicities and discussed about the nuances between those patients.
And I covered lymphoma CAR-T cell therapy toxicity management, covering really CRS and ICANS with a little bit of hematotoxicity as well as HLH management.
And I focus on toxicity management for our leukemic patients.
What are the most common toxicities seen with different cell therapies, and how do they impact patient quality of life?
So I can speak to just in general. So for all of our products, CRS and neurotoxicity, formerly known as ICANS, are probably the most common on-target off-tumor effects for patients that are treated with CAR-T and bispecific therapy. But I'll let Saba kind of give some additional details for myeloma.
So specifically for our myeloma, our BCMA CAR-T products, we do see this delayed neurotoxicity, movement and neurocognitive disorders, as well as some atypical neurotoxicities like cranial nerve palsies. We've seen it with our Cilta-cel product. And so this is something that we are still evolving regarding management and mitigation guidelines, potentially looking at ALC as a surrogate marker, potentially looking at prophylactic steroids for those high unrestrained ALC, and looking at other treatment strategies. For our bispecific space, regarding GPRC5D target, this does have some unique toxicities for our myeloma patients, which does really affect how long they potentially may stay on treatment because it does affect their quality of life. So this includes oral toxicity as well as dermatological, so skin, rash, and as well as nail toxicity that can affect them.
And for myself, I covered lymphoma, so CAR-T cell therapy and lymphoma toxicities. The biggest topics that I discussed were CRS and ICANS, as well as hematotoxicities and HLH-like syndrome. With CAR-T and CRS, there are, of course, agents like tocilizumab that we typically use first line, but I also covered anakinra use, which is starting to be increasingly utilized at institutions in the CRS and the ICANS space. And for ICANS, I also touched on corticosteroids, but also with anakinra, as well as intrathecal chemotherapy incorporation into algorithms and guidelines. And with hematotoxicity, I reviewed primarily the grading as well as the treatment algorithm that are available and how we can address those toxicities for patients and perhaps early intervention with GCSF or antibiotics. And for the HLH-like syndrome, there's also an algorithm of how we treat that, which continues to be evolving.
What are some key considerations for mitigating these adverse effects and preserving quality of life amongst these different populations?
I think recently there are some unique aspects to mitigating toxicity in the leukemic space with the introduction of a new FDA-approved CAR-T product called Obe-cel. It's very unique. It's actually a tumor burden-guided delivery of two cell doses on day one and then 7 days later, day two. So you're actually able to dose people based on their ability and baseline characteristics that would make them more likely to experience toxicities. And so this is very unique in comparison to our Tisa-cel and Brexa-cel therapies that are on the market. So I think risk-adapted approaches and different affinities of binding to CD19 really have changed kind of the toxicity spectrum when it comes to leukemic patients.
Other risk mitigating strategies include looking at high tumor burden patients. We know that these are risk factors, so making sure that we're cytoreducing appropriately, we're aggressively treating patients for their CRS symptoms because high-grade CRS is known to have more severe complications. And so making sure that we're ahead of that in regards to giving treatment early is key.
And from the lymphoma side, I can speak on my current practice at my institution, where we really stratify patients based on their tumor burden, as well as inflammatory markers at baseline. So we look at ferritin, CRP, LDH, as well as the tumor size, in addition to other things like cardiac function and even diabetes. So for those patients that do have these markers, we may try to incorporate prophylactic measures such as incorporating anakinra, for instance, to really try to reduce, for example, ICANS. So for those patients that we are able to reduce the incidence of ICANS, we may not necessarily need to use as much corticosteroids, which will spare their diabetes or cardiac function, et cetera. So that's one of the strategies. And of course, prophylactic dexamethasone that most of our institutions also follow with Zuma 1 cohort 6 prophylactic dex.
What should practices keep in mind when weighing the benefits and risks of different cell therapies as part of the overall treatment decision-making process?
I think something we're very uniquely positioned for is we do have validated tools called CAR hematotox and ALL hematotox that really can identify patients upfront as early as apheresis to potentially kind of already proactively come up with a game plan if a patient does experience toxicities, as well as supportive care, especially for post-CAR cytopenias. We're in a very unique position with the introduction of several oncologic agents in the myeloma, lymphoma, and leukemic space, that these tools are able to kind of mitigate and risk stratify patients.
One of the other things I'd mention in the myeloma space, as well as the other disease states, is making sure we're aware of the risk of infection with these products, especially as we're starting to see CAR T cell therapy earlier lines and treatment in our myeloma space. Looking at combination therapy for bispecific products, our risk of infection really is increasing. And so making sure we're appropriately prophylaxing these patients really is key.
And finally, what should others take away from these presentations?
I think the big takeaway from the presentation is really personalizing the medicine for patients. So it's not one size fits all. Yes, we do have CAR T products and bispecifics, but it's important to take patient specific factors when you're tailoring which therapy you are using, as well as which prophylactic measures you're doing and what anti-infectives you're incorporating to really try to optimize it for that particular patient. So again, not one size fits all.
Another thing I was just going to add is just this is an evolving field. And so different recommendations, management, mitigation strategies are continuing to evolve as we get more and more data, as we see more and more patients on these therapies.
And we do have other real-world consortiums that really add valuable insight. Cellular therapy is not necessarily a small world, but an intimate one. We're a family, so there's always opportunities to reach out to other institutions with very complex patients, so you're not alone.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.